Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Hail Yes podcast. I am your host, Haley Gamba, and how is everyone doing today? I am so happy to be back, and today's episode is actually going to be quite juicy. Now, I kind of discussed this a little bit on my YouTube channel, but I will also reiterate it here because I have to say it in both places, but I really want to step into the commentary space a little bit more. And what I mean by a little bit more is I am not really someone who is intrigued to step into commentary in a way where it feels like I am judging other people or even gossiping. I just don't love that. I don't think it's helpful or conducive to my own personal journey in what I'm looking to create in a community and even just in my social presence. But I really love that I can draw specific things from other people's lives, from what I've seen, whether it's online or in real life, and discuss it here to better help the collective. I am a woman who had a lot of question marks in life when it pertained to certain things. Just specific things were not discussed always. And I think it's because there's a little bit of shame around it. Some people maybe have not been through as much as the person next to them, or a lot of people live very sheltered lives, or some people just are not super great communicators and don't know how to share without feeling like it's an overshare. I've never been that girl. I don't mind oversharing if I do it in a way where I'm articulating myself to better help someone else. That's just kind of how I've always been. And I think that that's how I've built my platforms over the years. Whether it was me discussing friendships, relationships, my own personal struggles, my weight loss, my image, whatever it was, I was able to get online and talk about it with you guys because it was important to me. And I always speak to you guys from the place of, if I can help someone who is looking for answers and doesn't have the answers in front of them, whether it's in their real life or even online, that gives me purpose. I feel good knowing that I'm helping someone who does not know what to do in certain situations. And there have been plenty of things in my life that I did not know what to do, or I didn't know where to go for answers, for ideas, for help. And a lot of what I went through was navigated through just life experience, learning, making mistakes, and just going through the motions, which I think is a great thing as well. I think lived experience is the best experience, but sometimes we don't need to have to go through all of that. That being said, I have decided that in the new year, I want to do more commentary and more so of just kind of analyzing what I'm seeing online without, you know, being super judgmental, but more so just seeing what is being discussed and diving into my own personal experiences and lessons and helping you guys out. I think that it's so important that we create little communities all over the internet of people who identify with someone. And if you're kind of trying to figure out whether you identify with me or not, I am here to kind of share my own personal stance on certain things. I am a 28-year-old woman who is single, who was in a long-term relationship for a very long time, from childhood, pretty much teenagehood, into my adult years. And in that time frame, I built my career, I became a woman, I found myself, and I did a lot of things with my life in a short amount of time. And there was a lot of things that were not shared with me or taught to me in my evolution in becoming the woman I am today. I love my parents. They are very smart. They have taught me a lot, but certain things were just not taught to me because they did not experience it. For instance, my mom still lives in the town that she grew up in. She's never moved away from home. She doesn't know what it's like to make friends outside of her immediate, like, high school circle. She doesn't know people in a way where you have to start over and introduce yourself over again and try to build community and connections in a completely different way. Also, I think that my relationships were fundamentally different than hers. We had some similarities, and I'll kind of get into that later, and this kind of helped me in my own journey to finding myself. We just have very different outlooks on things, and we don't live the same way, which is fine. We're two completely different people. But what ends up happening in your growth as a woman is when you are navigating the struggles of womanhood, of relationships, of what you want to do with your life, of how you want to do it, you look all over for answers. And I am here to be someone to you guys if you identify with me. We're not always going to agree on everything. You're not always going to see my perspective and understand it, but it's my perspective. It's my truth and my reality. So I'm hoping that it resonates with somebody and it can help women who are similar to me who want to understand and align with people that are more like them. So that's kind of what I'm here for. I really wanted to discuss today the Christy Sarah divorce drama. I'm going to be honest with you guys. When I was in my relationship, which actually ended over three years ago, I watched a lot of couples channels when I was with that person because it was something that we did together. But once we broke up, it was not really something that I engaged with often. So if I'm being truly honest with you guys, I was not like a huge Christy Sarah fan. I do know of her. I think that she's beautiful. She's witty. She's cute. And I have obviously seen that she has created a beautiful platform for herself and gotten a lot of support over the years. But I have not really been watching her channel attentively. So I'm actually someone who is coming in from the outside looking objectively at things, which I think is actually a good thing because it takes the emotion out of it and puts more perspective into these discussions, I guess. Now, if you're listening to today's episode and you know nothing about the Christy Sarah divorce or even who she is, I can kind of share a little bit right now. She is a content creator. She has millions of followers and she makes content with her husband. It seems to be like very charming, witty, funny, prank type of videos. She does like these videos that I used to see a few times on my For You page on TikTok where it's like a question of whether it's a cake or it's the real thing. So it will be like shaped like a purse and she'll ask her husband, is it a purse or is it cake? And then he'll guess and then she'll cut it. And if it cuts like a cake, it's a cake. If it doesn't, it's the real thing. And I've seen that quite a bit. And it was like a cute type of video. And I don't know who was making these cakes, but they looked like the real freaking thing. It was crazy. That being said, from what I'm hearing online is that she has been with her husband since childhood. So since they were teenagers and they've been together for over a decade, have children together, they have been married, and they've built a beautiful following together. And it came out that Christy decided to get a divorce and put in the divorce paperwork that it was due to infidelity. And everyone was going nuts. And I think it's because a lot of people to this day have a lot of passionate opinions around cheating and relationships and people throwing things away. And it had me thinking of my own relationship with cheating and relationships and my own part in certain things as I've gotten older and my own stance on kind of growing with your partner, because there are so many different things that can be discussed amongst this one discussion, right? When we look at it from the outside, it's Christy Sarah divorced due to infidelity, but there's other things that go into it, right? It's two people that have been together since they were kids. They've never been with anyone else since they were teenagers. It's a woman who became extremely famous, has probably made millions of dollars, and the husband's kind of following along in her shadow and possibly has passionate feelings or personal feelings, I should say, about that. Because you know how men are when it pertains to women being successful and them maybe not being as successful or them being successful because of their woman. There's plenty of discussions about that online in itself. And then it also kind of goes into why we are so obsessed with people being together forever and where we stand with cheating, where we stand with success, with relationship dynamics and all of that. So I want to discuss all of that today. But this particular episode, I really want to emphasize on women pivoting after infidelity and how you are able to pick yourself back up after this happens to you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
As a person who has experienced cheating, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, I experienced it when I was a teenager. So I can't really speak on it from the perspective of an adult and how painful it could feel as an adult, but I do know and I can relate to how it felt in general, considering I have been cheated on. Now, I don't know if I've ever shared this story before on YouTube or even on my podcast, but I'm going to retell the story just to kind of give you a quick little story time about my own cheating story. When I was a teenager, I was dating this guy, and he was somebody that I actually was not really that interested in for a little bit. And when you're young, it's completely different than when you're older. I think when we're older and we date guys that we're not interested in, it has to do with like a bunch of different things. Like, oh, well, is he wealthy, but you're just not attracted to him? Like, it's more strategic. Where when I was younger, there was no strategy behind it. It was just the fact that I looked at him more as a friend, and he was much older than me. And by much, I mean like 3.5, 4 years maybe, which was a lot at the time. I just didn't see him in that way. He wasn't somebody that I was romantically interested in, but he kept showing up. And I had noticed that I would be dating other people or seeing other people, and I was kind of having my fun in high school. I was not your goody-two-shoe type of girl. I was outside, y'all. I know. I was a bad kid. Where I grew up, that was like very common. People were going out. People were partying. People were drinking. People were having a good time. There was a lot of bonfires where I lived, and it was just a huge community culture. Like everybody wanted to get together on the weekends and hang out. And it would just be like all the high schools in my town, which there were 3 high schools in the town I grew up in, which is huge. And all the high schools would come together and party. It was nuts. Okay. That being said, I would go out quite a bit. And this particular person was not in the mix because he was not in high school anymore. I would like get like silly with my friends, and I would call him and he would come pick us up. And what I really enjoyed about him was he was very responsible. He was very kind, and he just always like would extend help to me, which I never understood. I'm like, I'm not used to dealing with somebody who wants to help me for no reason. He wasn't asking me for sex. He wasn't trying to like hook up with me. He was just there. We ended up hanging out a lot. And I remember I would like dodge him every once in a while. Like he would message me on Facebook and be like, what are you doing? Do you want to hang out? And I think at the time I was kind of like whatever about him because I knew that he was a stoner and I wasn't. And it just wasn't something that was super appealing to me. And I know how like strict my parents were about smoking and things like that. And I just didn't want somebody in my orbit that was a stoner, but whatever. I hung out with him a few times. He was cool. I realized that he kind of came from like a really good family, kind of an established, affluent family. And we were hanging out more and more. And then I remember one day it clicked that I think I had romantic feelings for him. And we ended up dating. And I remember before we dated, I said, like, you're going to have to quit smoking. Like, it's a very unattractive thing. And I'm not able to like bring you home if you're going to be like high all the time. Because it wasn't like he was smoking like jokingly like once in a while. Like, no, he was stoned every day. So he actually quit cold turkey and we started dating. We were dating for a while and he was an amazing boyfriend. Bought me anything and everything I wanted. I think I talked about this before. Like, he bought me a Louis Vuitton bag for Christmas. It was beautiful. It was like the one that I wanted, which was the Louis Vuitton Speedy 30 in like the white cream color. I loved that bag, okay? Like, I was carrying it around like it was nothing. Like, it was just, I had a really good boyfriend. He was really good. And towards the end, it got not so great. I'm gonna be honest with you guys, it was a little abusive. And I think I was ignoring certain things in the relationship because the highs were so high. And I was a teenager. When you're young and you're naive and you're just figuring yourself out, you just assume that people are a little toxic, that they're a little traumatic sometimes, and that they have tempers or they get nasty. When you get older, you realize that those behaviors are not normal to be expressed onto you, and that people need to find better outlets like going to the gym, maybe taking a boxing class, going to therapy, talking about it with somebody. I don't know, but not letting it out on you. But at the time, I'm a young girl. I don't know any better. Fast forward, we're having issues here and there. He cheated on me in a very egregious way. And I wouldn't even say he cheated on me in an egregious way. We broke up in a very blindsiding, hurtful way. We were out to dinner, and I remember he was on his phone quite a bit while we were waiting to be sat. Guys, when I tell you that even telling this story to you guys right now, it flows off the tongue. And the reason I'm saying that is because I'm trying to get to the point that Cheating really does alter your brain chemistry and changes you for the rest of your life because you remember things about your relationship, the infidelity, how you felt. It brings up an emotion in you years and years later. I mean, this was over 10 years ago at this point, guys. I'm almost 30. So yeah, this was over 10 years ago. And this is still something that is very fresh in my mind. And we were out to dinner and he was on his phone. And I remember I was really annoyed by it. I don't know why, but I feel like it was just, he wasn't like locked in on what we had going on. And I said, hey, if you like take out your phone one more time and like do what you're doing, I want to leave. And he was kind of being combative with me and nasty with me, which I thought was really weird. I didn't like it. He went on his phone again and I was like, let's leave. And he walked out the restaurant. And I was really surprised by that because I was very used to this person always trying to make things right with me. He was a big believer in like the happy wife, happy life type of like mentality. Obviously, I was not his wife, guys, but he had like that mentality of always like wanting to keep things good between us and hated when we would fight and hated when I was upset with him. So this evening was very different. I suspected nothing other than he has an attitude problem. So I'm like, just take me home. I'm like not interested in dealing with you tonight. And he drove me home. Now, what had happened after this is the craziest part, guys. We never spoke again. Now, we were dating for like almost 2 years. And he drove me home and we never spoke again on the sense of like being in a relationship. That was our breakup. And it was extremely blindsiding. And I remember I was in my bed that night and he had blocked me on social media and he had blocked my number. And I was like, what the hell? And then I got a phone call from my friend at work and I worked at a restaurant at the time. And she called me the next day and I had called out of work because I was so distraught. I didn't feel good. And he knew my schedule because I only worked 2 days a week at this restaurant because at the time I was working at a dentist's office as a dental assistant. That was like my main job while also being in school. Guys, I was a hard worker and my mother didn't play about that. She was like, you're going to go to work and you're going to make money. So I was a dental assistant and I was working 2 days a week at a restaurant hostessing. Tell me why I got a phone call from my friend at work saying that he was on a date with a girl. This was extremely shocking to me. This was somebody that I have never in my life suspected would even look at another woman. Not to be like TMI, but he lost his virginity to me. He never talked about other women. I never saw him looking at other women. I never caught him Snapchatting, texting, doing anything. He was very much all about me. So to find out that he was on a date less than 24 hours from our dinner out while we were still together, and it was at the restaurant that I worked at, this felt very intentional and very disgusting. And I was so put off by it. I'm like, wait. Not only are you like low-key kind of cheating on me because like we just broke up, which means how did you get on a date this quickly unless this is a woman that you've already been talking to? You go out the day after to my restaurant, so you're trying to flaunt it in my face because you thought I was going to be there. That is sick. So this was already messing with me. Now, keep in mind, I'm a teenage girl going through all the emotions, not sure what's going on in life, still figuring things out. And this is someone that I would have betted would have been loyal to the end of time. Stupid. But it happens when you're young. You truthfully did not see a lot of these things coming. I show up to the place in my Juicy Couture sweatsuit. Guys, I definitely told this story before, but you know what? I'm telling it again. I don't care. And I remember my dad was sitting on the couch and I look at him and I'm in my sweatsuit and I said, I'm just letting you know right now, I'm probably going to get fired tonight. And my dad laughed because he's like a man of very few words. And he was like, mm-hmm. Like he just chuckled like that. At the time I was driving a Mini Cooper, got in my car, furious. I walk up to the table. I scream at the both of them. He's like extremely nonchalant, zero emotion, and was like, Haley, relax. She's just my coworker. And meanwhile, they're splitting sushi. And she's like, oh my God. Like she was like being like so like docile and stupid. And I wanted to like knock her out. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. Back then, not going to lie to you, I'd fuck up a bitch. I'm so for real. Now, not so much, okay? I got too much to lose. But back then, oh my God, I don't even know what prevented me from doing it. I think it was partially because that was the restaurant that I worked at and I didn't want to cause a scene. And I thought maybe after that I would still possibly have a job because I didn't scream or anything. But apparently what had ended up happening was that I was talking to him and the girl and the owners of the restaurant were sitting two tables down. I never met the owners. I never knew the owners, but apparently they saw everything and reported me. I don't care. I got fired that night and I don't give a fuck. Not only did I get fired, by the way, but I was told that I'm never allowed back in the restaurant again, which is like crazy, as if I was like being obnoxious. Like I went in there, confronted him. He's on a date. He's my ex-boyfriend. Not even, barely. Okay. Like literally been dating this guy 2 years, spent way too much time together, which we'll get into that too. I put my whole like life into this man just for him to be on a date less than 24 hours later, not giving a fuck. Guys, when I tell you this entire situation altered my brain chemistry, I was so depressed. And when I think back to what caused the depression, it wasn't necessarily like the cheating, but it was the deceit. It was being blindsided. And it was even like the questioning of my own self-trust. What is extremely scary is when you are dating someone and you've spent an extended amount of time with them. Because it's one thing if you're seeing somebody once a week or twice a week and you're not really gauging their personality, their lifestyle, who they are. But listen, I grew up in a house where my parents worked full-time. Both my parents are pretty much doctors, and I grew up pretty much being someone who fended for myself. I was home every day after school by myself. I let myself in. I've always been very independent. I'm the eldest daughter, and my biggest responsibility was making sure that my brother and sister were like getting off the bus safely after me, which I always did before them because I was older. But I really got away with a lot, to be honest with you guys, because nobody was really home and I kind of just did whatever. So I spent a lot of time with my friends and my boyfriend when I was in high school. I would hang out with him every day. He would like pick me up after school. We would hang out. We would do things. I would spend a lot of time at his house. And I would say it was honestly borderline unhealthy. As an adult now, when I reflect back on a lot of my relationships, one of the things that I would absolutely change had I redid it was giving myself more autonomy and independence. I do find that even in adulthood, I will meet women who go from being single to being in a relationship, and within a few months, they are spending almost every day or every other day with that person. And I personally just don't think that that's healthy because it makes it really hard to stick to your routine. Now, that's my own personal perspective. I just find that it's really hard to sustain a healthy, independent routine where you are nurturing yourself and pouring into your own cup when you're spending every single day with your partner. And then when you're not with them, you're on the phone, you're texting them, you're always speaking with this person. It's constant communication. So to think that I was with this person for almost 2 years, we spent every day together. I really wasn't super close with a lot of my friends at the time because my best friend from high school started dating somebody shortly after I got with him. And the guy she started dating was a really bad person. Like he was like a terrible drug dealer. He was a mess. She's became a mess. And I was so hurt that she went down that route. So I kind of created distance between me and people that I felt like were a negative force or just in an unhealthy situation, if that makes sense. So to spend every day with a man, to talk to them every day, to never catch them doing anything shiesty, yes, we had our ups and our downs, but it really wasn't that bad. To find out that this entire time, this person was able to cultivate a relationship with another woman because I ended up finding out later on that this was a woman that he worked with. She was apparently, and I don't know this for sure, but she was apparently engaged to a police officer at the time. And they created a work relationship and were hooking up at work and were seeing each other behind my back and the other person's back. And then they started dating after me and him broke up. And she was disgusting. Like, I mean that in the most respectful way. No, I don't. When I was younger, something that I never understood, and I understand this more now as an adult woman, is when you know you look good and you find out that your man is cheating on you with someone who you would think that they would find to be repulsively ugly. And I have learned in adulthood that it is not that black and white, and you should never even assume that. There are attractive men out here who will get with anything. And I'm not even saying that in a mean way towards women. If anything, it's more of a testament to the man's character because men love to profess that they like a specific type of woman. Oh, I like this, I like that. And then be with the antithesis behind your back. And I actually would say that if you ever are dating a man and he is demonizing a specific type of woman, like he says, you know, I hate when girls look like this and wear this and have tattoos here and he's always bringing it up. I would say look into that because that's probably the woman that he is actually like low-key hooking up with or wants to. Trust. Never trust someone who is overly expressive about what they don't want, because it's kind of giving obsessed. I remember at the time being so shocked by how she looked, how much older she was than me and than him, and how they pretty much started dating immediately after we broke up. That was the shocking thing. The cheating was one thing, right? I think we naturally think we can prepare for it, but it's actually the other things that are the more egregious acts, the deceit, the looking me in my face with no emotion. That's scary. You'd be surprised how many men will blindside you and then not give a fuck. They don't care that you're crying, that you're hyperventilating, that you're sick over it, that it affects your body, that it affects your mental health, that you're anxious, that you're depressed, whatever. They will look you dead in your face and be like, hate to see it. And there's like no emotion. And yes, it sounds narcissistic because it is. It's a form of narcissism. I'm not going to label everybody a narcissist, but if you are able to completely like discard somebody with no regard and with no emotion and with no grieving, that's crazy, especially if this person meant something to you. So I was kind of navigating all of these things super young. I went through a really hard breakup with a person that I thought I trusted, or that I knew I trusted, but now I don't, who blindsided me, who then started dating immediately after. And then I became someone who was hyper-focused and hypersensitive to certain traits and behaviors. I was so obsessed with being with someone who could possibly do this pattern and behave like this again. And it kind of reminds me of the Christy Sarah thing, because from what I'm seeing, it's that, you know, there was infidelity and now here's this person moving on with their life, you know, showcasing themselves. There was like a picture of him making out with a girl in a public place. He's like showing himself, like redecorating his new place. And it's like this like weird, yeah, I'm good. I'm fine. I don't care how she feels. I don't care what she thinks. And it's like this very like emotionless behavior and this pattern. And I know it too well because I've seen it. And I'm not going to put that on all men. I just noticed that men tend to do that a little bit more than women do. Women, we tend to put our emotions into everything, especially if we're giving our bodies to people, our bodies, our hearts, our energy, our time into someone. We are going to feel that hit if we are ending things with this person, whether it was us ending it amicably or it being ended because of cheating or any type of infidelity or just anything. That's negative. It could be a positive thing or a negative thing. We're still going to have a grieving process because it's new. It's new stuff. It's a weird feeling. What I think cheating had did for me, how it altered my brain chemistry, was it made me course correct in a way that was overcorrecting. I went from being a person prior to being a completely different person. I became someone who was strategic, who wanted to date from strategy and thought that I could outsmart the next person, and I only wanted to date men that were like super feminine or presented their emotions in a healthy way, because the relationship ending that way really made me think like, oh my God, I am with a person who lacks emotional depth, and that is very difficult for me to grasp and understand. And I overcorrected. So then the person that I had dated after this person, which was actually my long-term relationship, was someone that I knew would never hurt me, would never do these things to me, because it was just not in his character. He was too soft, too kind of a person. And although that was what I thought was the best thing for me, it still wasn't, because you can't outsmart certain things. You can't preemptively position yourself in a way where you are able to save yourself from heartbreak or from something bad happening. Because it might not be the same type of heartbreak, but it still could be very much something else. And what I've learned as a woman, after experiencing the cheating and then also experiencing what was considered a healthy long-term relationship with a healthy man, was that neglecting yourself in any way as a woman will always go against your greater purpose. The best way to truly dodge all of these feelings, emotions, and things that completely consume your time and energy is by not putting so much emotion into another person. And I know that sounds really difficult, considering a lot of us want to be in love, a lot of us want to be married and have children and build a beautiful life with someone. But what I've learned is that the women that have put their all into that always end up hurt and with the short end of the stick. The way that cheating alters you, and I know for me, the sequence of events that happened afterwards was very on brand for being a cheating victim, was that I was losing a lot of weight, I was depressed, I was sad, I was crying all the time, and then I was angry. And it's kind of like you go through those stages of grief of losing that relationship, and then you kind of are able to get on the other side of it eventually if you're able to have perspective, because some people just are always stuck in that negative space. And I'm someone who really does not like to be unhappy, so I do everything in my power to try to get happy again. But then you kind of are like disgusted with that person and you're incapable of ever seeing them the same way that you saw them prior. So even if you were to like take them back, or if you were to give them another chance, you don't see them how you saw them before. So it's always a tainted experience. And I know I was not planning on ever taking this person back. He actually tried to offer it to me. I want to say it was a few months after, which is weird because he was still seeing that girl, but he was mad that I was moving on because I went through my depression and my grief, and then I started dating again. And it was obvious because we lived in a small town. I was on Instagram at the time. I was a teenager. I was posting what I wanted to post. I was going on dates. And he was like, if you get rid of that guy that you're seeing, I'll take you back. Although tempting, which it wasn't, I said absolutely not. And I was able to really move forward in a way with this new guy who I knew wouldn't hurt me like that.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot of things went out of my mind after experiencing this cheating scandal. One thing that really like left my mind was like the fantasy life. It kind of dissipated for me. Not saying that I didn't want it or didn't believe that it was possible still. I did still believe in it, but just not in the way that I did before. I also was able to really discern and analyze that you don't know people. You think you know people and you don't. A lot of us don't even know our own family members. We have people that have been in our family that we've known for years, who we think we know, and you find out one of your family members, you know, did something horrible, or they change overnight and become a completely different person. We have secrets, all of us as humans, and some people have deeper, more intricate secrets than others, and some people are really good at hiding their true selves and their true colors. So whenever people say things like, you should have picked somebody better, and people always fault women for what men do to us, it's always like, oh, you should have picked better. How can you pick better if somebody is pretending to be someone the entire time we're together and the act was just as good as the real thing? Some people are very good actors and actresses because they dislike their true selves so much that they are really good at playing someone else. And I'm not saying that who they are doesn't eventually come out. It usually does, but it depends on how long. For me, it took 2 years. For some people, it takes 10. And I'm not accusing anybody in this situation when it pertains to the Christy, Sarah, and Desmond situation that there was like a character issue here. What I'm saying is, one, stop putting your faith in a relationship that started when two people did not have their frontal lobe fully developed yet. I do not fault anyone for growing out of love with someone that they met when they were a child. And we need to start getting a little bit more real with that, guys. I am definitely going to be the podcast girl for those who have been in those relationships. And it did start to feel a little weird after a couple of years. You're like, wait, I'm outgrowing this person. Their opinions and ideas don't align with mine. They just are not my kind of person. I don't even think I'm attracted to this type of person anymore. And I think what keeps you in these relationships for so long is that you've built a life together. There's a history. There's a little bit of loyalty there. There's a trust. There's a friendship. You build a friendship with someone that you've been with for 10 plus years, somebody that you met when you were a kid. But it's not abnormal or weird to grow out of love with somebody when you're an adult, when you're a fully functioning adult that you met when you were a kid. So that's something that plays a huge part probably in all of this as well. And I'm not saying that that was justifiable, because I still think that what is scary about being cheated on is the deceit and the lies that go into it, is the waking up one day and realizing your life is flipped upside down. I really want you guys to know how important it is to feel validated in all of this. There is a lot of things that we can agree with and we can say like, yes, I get that. Yes, I get that. Yes, I get that. And it still not be right. I can identify as somebody who was in a long-term relationship since a teenager because my relationship after my cheating situation started when I was 17. So I was 17 years old with my next relationship and I didn't really wait much time in between, which I probably should have, but I went from one relationship to another and I spent 7 years with that person. And as someone who spent a long time with a person, I can identify that, yeah, it's really difficult to expect everyone to feel the same about a person that they met when they were teenagers. When we are picking a partner for ourselves when we're young, usually it's not based off of character, alignment, future, or anything like that. I mean, maybe some people, yes, but very seldom do I think that that happens because people usually pick people based off of attraction. Even in adulthood, I feel like some people are not picking people properly. Okay, but that's a conversation for another day. So I can empathize with people who are struggling to make something work that's been long term, but I also can empathize with the person who was blindsided by the actions of the person who felt that way. Because sometimes it's not necessarily the cheating, but it's the way in which people go about it. It's the lying. It's the deceit. It's the lack of emotions. It's the moving on so quickly. It's the lack of consideration. I do notice that a lot of men, when they are no longer dealing with you in a sexual way or in a relational way, they do discard you in an egregious way. And you're like, whoa, this is somebody that I thought considered me in all aspects of life. And now I'm fending for myself and this person could give a fuck less about my existence. It's a bizarre feeling and it really messes people up. It stresses people out. It causes depression. It causes anxiety. It makes you feel worthless and it makes you feel unlovable. And I'm here to tell you that it's none of those things. Most of what people are doing is a reflection of what they have going on, who they feel like they are inside. Some of them are lost, misguided, unhappy. They possibly might have a personality disorder. They are very self-servant. They don't know how to hurt you properly, so they hurt you improperly. And yes, there is a way to go about things, and some people just don't go about them the right way, and it sucks. And we are at the bitter end of that, and it's really unfortunate. And I think that a great way to pivot from all of this is to understand how imperfect humans are and how sucky things are, but to not let it affect you so significantly that it prevents you from prevailing, from becoming the woman that you've always wanted to become, from doing the things you've always wanted to do, and from being happy. A lot of people have allowed cheating to alter their brain chemistry so much that they don't date, that they don't want to be in love, that they don't trust anyone, that they have stopped their career, they stopped going to school. Like a lot of people allowed these behaviors to affect their growth and their journey moving forward. And my question to you, if you're doing that, is how is that helping your life? You are giving someone who is no longer a part of your world so much power over you. And it is so crucial that you release that power, release that hold that they have over your life, because you are giving them control. You're giving them control over your current state. So many people, and I talk to people all the time because I do consults. I do one-on-one consults and I hear it. You're stalking the Instagrams. You're checking up on them. You're not eating. You're dropping out of school. You're not showing up to work on time. You're doing a multitude of things that is not beneficial to your mental and physical health and your emotional health. And then on top of it, you're like, well, I'm not going to date because, you know, I need to work on myself. And that's your way of convincing yourself that that's what you're doing, when in reality, you're not doing that. You're not dating because you are living in a perpetual state of punishing yourself. And I believe that there's a healthy balance between taking a break, taking a pause, and nurturing yourself, and also getting back out there and not letting things affect you. You want to know what my biggest flex is as a woman? My biggest revenge to people who've hurt me is me moving on with my life and choosing happiness. When you continue and you make new milestones, and you create new memories and connections, you find love again, you move forward, you lose some weight, you do well for yourself, that's the biggest F you to a person who hurt you. And it's not even like we're trying to say F you, it's that we're trying to say like, this didn't make me, this didn't change me. It might have shaped me and molded me into a more discerning person, someone who has my eyes wide open, my head on a swivel, but I'm not going to let it deter me from finding love, from being a good person, from being successful, from doing things for myself. And I really pray, and I'm putting this out there, this good energy out there for Christy Sarah, that she continues to make some beautiful memories in her content career, that she takes this by the frickin' reins and utilizes this experience as a way to grow into the autonomous, independent woman that she deserves to be. The women who choose self-preservation and choose to be happy amongst the bullshit are the women that are role models to me. A lot of these women have children. They are bosses in their world. They are leading certain things. And I want the women who are leaders to be happy. I want them to be able to lead from a place of love and understanding versus a place of hate and revenge. When somebody has children, why the hell would you want them to be depressed about something that they can't change? I'm not saying that you're not going to feel those emotions from time to time, but to want that for someone? No, I want to see Christy Sarah have the biggest revenge arc where she gets sexy, which she already is. She does things for herself. She showcases what it's like to be a single mom doing her thing and not allowing this to affect her significantly in life. And hopefully her husband, ex-husband, does the same thing. I wish ill on no party. Truthfully, what I've learned, even in my own mistakes that I've made in life and how I've treated people and how I've bettered myself and also the things that I've done that weren't always great, is that the tables turn and everyone has their day. So if you did something harmful to someone, usually something harmful is going to happen to you. I do believe in karma and I'm not wishing it on anyone. I just know how this story usually ends. It is what it is. And listen, you can always come back from karma. I've experienced my fair share of karma when I've done bad things to people. The cookie always crumbles, the tables always turn, and everyone has their day. That's the truth. You gotta learn from your mistakes. You have to learn from others. And you have to be able to use it as your guide to bettering yourself as a human. So that is what I wanted to really discuss today. And I hope that it kind of resonated, that it felt good. I want the next episode to be more about how to pivot from a relationship. So I'm going to do an entire episode on that because this episode got kind of long, but I will do an episode on that for you guys about how to pivot from a long-term relationship and how to really regain your confidence, because I think that that is an important topic as well, but I can't talk about all of that today. I think that if you are someone who craves autonomy, craves independence, and you've been through something similar, go after it. Do not allow this to affect your life to where you are not able or are capable of becoming the woman that you deserve to be. I believe heavily in pivoting. This makes you stronger and better. It doesn't make you weak. And people who do this to others, especially when there's no emotion behind it, you don't want someone like that in your life anyways. It's a blessing that you don't have someone sleeping next to you like that anymore. Because me, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. That will always be a bizarre thing to me. Always. Please weigh in. I want to hear from you guys down below if you are watching this on YouTube to just kind of let me know your own personal thoughts on this matter and what you think about relationships that were built from childhood, what you think about men's kind of weird views and opinions on women being successful or feeling like they're living in their woman's shadow. I didn't really touch on that much today, but my intention was to do so. But I think maybe I'll do an entire episode on that as well. But I'm so curious of your entire thoughts on the Christy Sarah and Desmond divorce. Keep it cute in the comments, of course, because we are not here to gossip. We are here to just learn and to discuss certain topics. And that's kind of what I did today. So I hope that you enjoyed it. Okay, so now I'm going to be answering a question from Hail Mail. I love when you guys send me these, so please keep sending them to me on the Hail Yes Podcast Instagram DM or even down below in the YouTube comments. I would love to hear from you guys, but just ask me a question. I will read it in a episode. So today's particular question is, what does femininity mean to you without the internet's influence? And I thought this was a really great question because if I'm being honest with you guys, prior to the internet, I don't even think I really understood femininity or what it meant. I grew up with a very hyper-independent mother who had feminine traits, but a lot of masculine traits as well, and I never really thought about it at all. But if I were to completely take my mind out of it, what I view as feminine is just looking beautiful and feeling your best. That is something that is very important to me. My looks, ever since I was a little girl, I would play in makeup, whether it was at my grandma's house or even just whatever I had. And I was such a girly girl that loved powder and spritz and makeup and doing my hair. So to me, like, femininity is about looking polished and appearing as your best self. And I know that it's much deeper than that and it's a lot of internal things, but that's the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of what it meant to me prior to the internet's way of like discussing it and talking about it. So that's my answer to that. Okay, guys, I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I enjoyed making it. Please weigh in, send this to a friend. If you've dealt with cheating, please give this a nice rating. Give it a thumbs up on YouTube. Send it to someone who you think maybe needs to hear it right now. And I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye, everyone. Mwah.
Pioneer.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.